Well, good afternoon. It's good to see. I'm looking at the center, but everyone's to the side. Yeah. We made a new setup. It used to be facing that way, but we kind of wanted to face this way because I wanted to be closer to you, so that the people, you know, in the back usually feels left out because this room is so long. But this way, kind of, we are a little bit closer. And we are going to be here for, hopefully, just short time. One of the goals that we should have is to outgrow this room and go down to the main sanctuary. And, our church, you know, whoever is a bigger crowd gets the bigger room. So I hope that we can outgrow this room and then go back to downstairs. And that's your job. You're the sheep, and sheep has to bear sheep. I'm the shepherd. If shepherd bears sheep, that's monster. So far, we started last year, I think around May, and during pandemic time, and we haven't had really time to advertise or tell people about this worship service, and through word of mouth, many of you came here. So if we are more kind of diligent about letting people know about this worship service, it would be really helpful in the growth of this service. Also, we're going back little by little, kind of restoring what we used to do before pandemic. And one of the things that we are doing this summer is sending one team of high school students on a mission trip to Los Angeles, an Oasis mission. They go out to the street to evangelize and help the people and the homeless people. It's a great ministry. It's been around for a while, and we're sending about 20 kids. So if you have 9th through 12th grader who are vaccinated, who don't have anything to do this summer except stay home, it'll be a good time for you to send them away to experience, to kind of get back to serving God and the community. Today, the word of God comes to us from Book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I'll read it to you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden, Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have been taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. Oh, that's verse 11. Okay, up to verse 10. As a pastor, I get to share gospel time after time with people who are non-Christians. And there are many different responses. And one of the responses that I hear is, why would I want to give up my weekend? You know, that's the only time I have, free time. Why would I want to become a Christian and go to church and waste my time on weekend? I don't want to become a Christian. Another excuse that I hear is this: well, I don't want to be restricted, because becoming a Christian, God's going to tell me, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you know, don't go to party, don't drink and get drunk, and all the fun stuff that I can do, God's going to tell me not to do. So I don't want to become a Christian. Well, Christian life is boring, some say. I have yet to meet fun Christian. All the Christians are boring. Why do they have such thoughts, such image? Maybe because that's all they see. Though we say in Christ we became a new creation, a new creature, and we have a new life that we're living, that we ought to live in joy and in celebration with God, people are not seeing that. Maybe the life that we claim to have, renewed life in Christ, only happens when we gather amongst ourselves. Seems like whenever we gather in church, we seem like happy campers. Yet when we go back to the life that we have to live in the world, we kind of put back our old self. We live our life like the rest of the folks in the world, so they cannot tell a difference. So we become really good at distinguishing and compartmentalizing the two lives, spiritual life and secular life. And we tend to kind of go back and forth. Weekend comes, Sunday comes, we come here and we become spiritual. And then Monday comes and we go back and we become sort of like secular. And that's kind of, you know, after you do that for year after year, it becomes almost normal. And you feel like that's the kind of life that you have to live. And so we kind of switch channels. On Sunday, we turn to religious channel. And on Monday through Saturday, we turn to secular channel. And we just live like rest of the folks. And people cannot tell a difference. So we become like bats. We crawl with the rats and fly with the birds. But the fact about bats is nobody likes bats. In fact, this coronavirus, some say that it came from the bats. And all the kind of, you know, viruses come from the bats. We got to choose one. What kind of life are you going to live? Today's passage, Colossians chapter 3, the whole book of Colossians comes from Paul. He was in prison, and he heard the report of church in Colossae, and it wasn't such good news. Well, there were some good news and bad news. Good news is the church is growing, and the bad news is two things. One is there are too many people who committed to Christ, yet they're going back to the old style. They're going back to the old life. They have to live a new life with the new principles and new rules in God, yet they're going back. They keep on going back to their old self and living their old lives. And the second problem was there were wrong teachings. There were some cults permeating into the church and teaching the wrong teaching. And Paul is addressing the Christology, the study of Christ, in the book of Colossae. And he outlines, you know, who Jesus Christ is. And he's addressing this issue because you have to have the right understanding and teaching of Christ in order for you to live a right life. Whatever you believe and follow is going to determine the direction and the quality of your life. But Christ is, to me, it is going to determine what kind of life I'm going to live. And the life in Christ is an exciting one. We don't believe in Jesus simply to go to heaven. We believe in Jesus so that I can have a best life here on earth. This is just listen to this carefully, and I'm going to repeat it twice. Christianity is not about dying well and going to heaven. It is the best way to live this life. Christianity is not about dying well and going to heaven, but it is the best way to live this life. The life in heaven doesn't start after you kick bucket. After you die, you go to heaven. Oh, I'm in heaven. Oh, this is great. No, that life begins here. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is done in heaven shall be done here on earth. Whatever quality of life is promised in heaven will happen here on earth. If we're in Christ, we are given a new life, a new principle, a new purpose and goal in life. And that life is promised to us, and that life is a joyous life, a life that is fulfilling, life that is worthwhile, life that most people will just covet and envy if it's lived in a right way. Yet, living in the world, we feel like, well, if I really follow the way that God has set up my life to be, I'm going to lose out. I'm going to, you know, not do well, because in the world it's kill or be killed. I cannot survive in the world where just, you know, it's just a survival of the fittest, and I cannot be weakling. Jesus said to be servant of all. And Jesus said to consider other better than yourself. And it seems like to be a good Christian, you have to be a loser. That's right. To be a good Christian, most of the times we have to sacrifice. Most of the times, whatever bad things happen to us, we have to say, praise God. You know the song that we sang? He give and take away, give and take away. That's taken out of a testimony of Job in the Bible. He lost everything. He lost everything. Yet he praised God. But can you really do that? Whenever I sing that song, I kind of pause for a moment. Can I really do that? When he gives, we're joyful. When he takes away, we're angry. How could you, God? Yet we sing it. He gives and takes away, gives and takes away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be the name. We say amen to that. Yeah, it. It's so hard. When God takes it away, I don't like it. God said, God, how could you? You don't love me. You left me. You know, but that's the kind of life that Jesus is calling us to live. When he takes away, even when things, all things are gone, we praise God. That's the kind of life he's calling us to live. And that life is coveted. In fact, it's difficult to find in the world. Everyone's out for themselves. Everyone's living their life as if, as Elder Kim prayed today, as the world is evolving around themselves, that I am the center of a universe. Everything has to focus on me. And that seems to be the lifestyle that we're used to. Yet Christ is calling us, that's why you struggle. That's why your Christian life is so hard, because you're trying to live both worlds. You see, when I lived in Korea, I had to abide by the laws of Korea. But when I came to the United States, I have a new set of law. There's a constitution, by the way, happy Independence Day, July 4th. And I have to abide by the new rules. Likewise, when I belonged to the world, there were certain set of rules that I had to follow that in order for me to succeed and to be protected. But when I became citizens of God's kingdom, I have a new set of rules and new kind of, I would say, you know, new bylaws that I need to abide. And only way for me to really be protected and to be part of the kingdom is to obey whatever king has said as a rule. You see, when I live such lives, one life, spiritual life, life that God desires, not only I am blessed, but I become a blessing to other people. Jesus wanted us to live a life that is a conduit of God's blessing. He doesn't want us to be the reservoir of God's blessing. God bless me so I can, you know, live a comfortable life. I can be, you know, successful. And then we just hoard and hoard and hoard. That is not the kind of life that Jesus calls us to live. He wants us to be the conduits of God's blessing. As he gives, I become a conduit to other people. There are so many people in the history that we find that live such lives. Henrietta Mears, I don't know if you heard that name. She was a Sunday school kind of leader, director at a Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. And she was an amazing woman, you know, teaching the kids in her time, it was way advanced. And she became like the role model of Sunday school director. And a lot of people were impacted by her. The founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, was taught by her. Billy Graham had a huge impact, Henrietta Mears. This one kind of simple woman who had heart for children made an impact on so many children and so many leaders of the church. How about Jim Elliot? He decided to live his life as a missionary. He went to Ecuador, and he, before he could even share the gospel, he was killed by Indians. I think the movie is called End of Spear. And watch that movie. It's about Jim Elliot. And it's about the Indian who killed Jim Elliot. Later, he became Christian. And it's his testimony about how God has impacted his life. Though he gave his life for the people of Ecuador, the people, you know, the man who killed Jim Elliot became a Christian. How about Fanny Crosby? She lived her life as a blind woman, but she loved the Lord and she loved to sing. And a lot of songs that we sing in the hymnals was written by her, making a huge impact in history of Christianity. David Livingston became a doctor and he wanted to go to China. When God closed doors in China, he decided to go to Africa. And he made a huge impact on the people in Africa. What is the difference between these people who made an impact in other people's lives and our lives? They dreamt about God's kingdom. They dreamt about what they could be in the kingdom of God. Instead of going back and forth in two worlds, old and the new, they decided, I'm going to live in the kingdom of God as a child of God, as a citizen of God's kingdom. And they made a conscious choice. Is that possible? Well, these people made possible. And it is possible for you and I. Think of Superman. Superman was living in two worlds. Ordinary and Superman's world. In one world, he was invincible superhero. While in the other world, he was just Clark Kent. Do you know Clark Kent, the little children? Yeah, as Superman, the others, yeah, just. He was a nerd. He was a nerd. Though he was a nerd, being yelled at, being picked on, that did not matter much because he knew who he was in the other world. He knew his status was, I'm Superman. You know, I'm able to do great things. He knew. So being picked on, you know, being made fun of, it didn't matter. You know, he's just putting up his glasses, Clark Kent, a nerd. It didn't matter how he was treated because he knew who he was in the other world. And that's the kind of life that we are called to live. Even though in the world we may be persecuted, we may be picked on, we're made fun of, it doesn't matter because we know who we are in the kingdom of God. We are chosen by God to be his children. That's who we are. That's our identity. I mean, another example is Matrix. Thomas Anderson. He was a man living a double life. One working for a highly respectable software company. And the second world that he was living was he was hacker under the alias Neo. The Matrix follows the progression of Neo going from the regular guy to being exposed to the real world. In this real world, he's able to do the incredible. And because Neo experienced the real world, he's able to better understand the other world. You see, when we understand what it is to live in the kingdom of God as a child of God in a real way, we don't have to go back and forth. In fact, living in the world is not that difficult as living as a Christian, as a child of God, because we know who we are. Our identity belongs to God. And in today's verse, this is what it says, verse 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. So living our life, our thoughts is important. We have to be thinking about not worldly things, but things of above. Godly things. That's what it's saying. Think about what God desires. Is it since you've been raised with Christ, those of you who proclaim to be Christian, those of you who know you are a child of God, it is saying to set your heart on things above. And then he says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You got to decide where you're going to put your standard. Are you going to live with the standard of the world? Or are you going to live by the standard of God? Those of you who've been raised with Christ, we need to make a choice. In order to do, you know, kind of think about above things. First of all, we need to get rid of some things. If you want new furniture, you got to get rid of old furniture. If you want new food, you got to get rid of old food. Time to time, my wife goes through the refrigerator and throws out all the old stuff. You know, it looks empty. I like it. There's room for new food. when it's packed, you know, just even though I want to bring new food, it's hard. There's no more room. But when she throws out old stuff, there's room for new stuff. Likewise, in order for us to really bring in godly stuff into our mind, we got to get rid of some things that are old. And this is what it says in today's passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 8 and 9 tells us what we need to get rid of. Verse 5 says this. This says not to get rid of. It says put to death. Kill it. You got to kill this stuff. And these are the things that you need to kill it. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed. These stuff you need to get rid of. In fact, kill it. Killing it means you bury it. Because if you don't kill it, it's going to come back. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, these things creep back before you know it. It's amazing how they come to life. You thought you just pray, God, I'm so sorry, I won't do that again. Sorry, no more. You run away. If you don't kill it, it's going to revive. It has power to revive. Amazing way. So you need to kill it. That's what it says, put to death. Verse 8 says this. But now you must rid yourself of all things such as what? What do you get rid of? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. These things you need to get rid of. You know how easily we anger, don't we? Some people say, you know, oh, I have temper issue. I get angry, you know. But then after a while, I just calm down. You know, just, boom, I have an explosive personality. I explode, but then afterwards, I don't have, you know, I'm cool. It's not cool. Dynamites explode. And afterwards, it's silent. You know, it's very silent. Yet, that explosion caused a lot of damage. You may say, anger, I get angry, but then I calm down, you know, quickly. In your anger, you might have caused some harm to other people. So it's just to get rid of it. To get rid of rage. To get rid of malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Our lips were made to do two things, to praise God and to bless others. You know, just use your lips to bless others. Every day, bless others. It's hard to do. Whenever I do, I think I said this before, to all the couples that I married, officiated, I always say, you know, whenever you wake up in the morning, you know, instead of asking other person, what have you done for me lately? It's almost like a song, huh? Instead, you ask the other person, how can I bless you? What can I do to make your life better? You know, to be a blessing to other person. Our lips are made to really praise the Lord and to bless each other. And you bless other people through the word of God and giving the life to other people. You know, the word encouragement means to putting encourage upon children. You know, that's what it means to think about above things. You know, how can I live my life with the word of God? How he's teaching us. Just whether you are eating, whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing. Now, that was a good example here. Whenever you eat bibimbap, now you're going to think of the community of God. Bibimbap is a combination of many namul, the vegetables, right? But vegetable and rice alone, it doesn't taste right. You need gochujang and you need changirim. Gochujang is the blood of Christ. Oil is the anointing oil of Holy Spirit. So you mix all that together, blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit with all these different namul, then it becomes nice bibimbap. Just whatever circumstance, whatever situation you may be in, just you know, think about how you can relate this to God. In order to do that, you always need to stand before God. Always. Coram Deo. Living your life before God. Coram Deo. Why the Korean ministry have early morning prayer? You know, one of the best thing I had doing the EM was not having early morning prayer. Just, you know, early morning prayer, the KM people, you know, I always say KM is a killing ministry because of early morning prayer. You know, how can they wake up so early in the morning? Like, you know, 5:40 in the morning, God's not even up at that time. You know, some people say, well, you know, Jesus prayed early in the morning. He did once in a while, not every day. And he only did for 3 years and, you know, went back. I don't think he's doing 새벽 기도. Yet, you know, just we want to outdo Jesus. And I hated 새벽 기도 until I realized why we need to do 새벽 기도, early morning prayer. Because first thing that we want to hear, first thing we want to say is, when I open my lips, I want to praise God. When I open my ears, first thing I want to hear is word of God. And for me to really start my day before the Lord. Before the Lord, before, you know, just anything else, not with the problem that I'm going to face and all that, but starting my day before the Lord. Even if it's not 5:30 in the morning, you know, even whenever you wake up, we need to wake up to the sight of God. Even though I turn my eyes away, God's going to be right there watching me. Did you know essence of Christianity is knowing that God is with me all the time? That's when we are not tempted to sin. When do we sin? When we think that nobody's watching me. That's when I sin, right? When do you do kind of weird stuff? You know, there's just immoral stuff. It's when I know that I'm not going to get caught. No one's watching me. Forget God. If Pastor Jim Bob is always watching over your shoulder what you're doing, you're going to be careful. You know, what you watch and what you do, you're going to be very careful because my pastor's watching me. God is always with us. Emmanuel. Being before God, you're going to be thinking about His kingdom and what His pleasure is, not my pleasure. So instead of coram Deo, being in front of God, there's a better place to be. Being in God. Being in God. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about, if you're in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit. Being inside. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. In God, all things are possible. So we need to be not in front, but inside of Him in order for us to really live our life the way that He desires. God has given us a new life, and we live in a new world. Let's take advantage of it. There's a lot of benefit that comes. So we don't have to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ once you start living your life as Christ has intended. Did you know that? Because the world is craving to see something that is not of this world. Because people are tired of people lying. And oh, in verse 9, it says this. Verse 9 says this, do not lie to each other, since they have been taken off of your old self with its practices. Do not lie. We're so good at lying. You know, people say politicians lie. Well, pastors lie too. Pastors lie in a kind of very spiritual way. They lie about their congregation. You know, this one person, the pastor said, you know, our congregations were, you know, well, last night people gathered and about 1,000 people came. I was there. There were less than 100 people. I don't know, maybe he was counting the wishful thinkers. You know, well, I wish it was 1,000. But, you know, he said there were 1,000 people. And then the newspaper, the Christian newspaper, said that there are, you know, 1,000 people gathered according to the pastor. And I was like, but pastor, lie. You know, just, we call that bongtigi in Korea. You know, just, why do we lie? We lie for many reasons, for acceptance, you know, for us to cover up some things. But God says, don't lie. Worshippers are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Things that we need to really kind of, you know, put before us is we need to be truthful in whatever circumstances. We need to be truthful. So my word is a guarantee. You know, what do you call it in English? That my word is just as good as cash, you know, as gold, whatever. You know, that whatever I say, people will believe, yeah, that person never lies. To the Christians in Church of Colossae, to Colossian Church, Paul is pointing out what to get rid of. All these things you need to get rid of, you know, sexual immorality, lust, and greed, and rage, and malice, and all these things, lies. You need to just take off and kill it and get rid of it. But it doesn't tell us, you know, what else to do. But to the church in Philippi, he wrote this letter in prison as well. He writes this. Actually, he tells specifically what, you know, thinking about things of above means. Philippians 4:8 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Godly thoughts, not only when you come to church, but wherever you are, and whenever you are just going through your life, think about these things. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, whatever is excellent. Think about these things. I'm sure many of you heard the series of sermon, Gaining by Losing, for us to be a missional church. This is the essence of missional church. Wherever we are, people will see our lives and they will just admire. Wow, I wish I could live that life. You know, we're going through a pandemic, that person just full of joy. I wonder why. Why that person's so happy? You know, I don't understand. You know, that person, just business is not doing well. But, you know, you don't find him depressed and you don't find him complaining. But always, just filled with joy. What is it? People will want to know. And then you have, when they come and ask you, what makes you so happy in the midst of such chaos? You can share. It's Jesus Christ. You become a witness of Jesus Christ. Though we live in the world, we do not belong to the world. We belong to the kingdom of God. Salmon is born in fresh water, and then they go out to the ocean, live their life, and then come back to the fresh water, lay egg, and they die. How is that possible? Fresh water, when you throw them in the ocean, they die. They have this, on this, their gill mechanism to kind of turn the salt water, you know, take the salt and then make it so that they can live in the salt water. We have Holy Spirit. We live in the world, but we're not alone. Holy Spirit is with us, helping us not only survive, but to really be victorious. So take heart, my friends, as you go into the world, instead of changing the channel, take God with you, because He is trustworthy. He never, never broke promises that He made in the Bible, that He will be with us till the end of the earth. As we partake in bread and wine, people say, you say bread and wine, but it's not wine. Okay, bread and juice. May we be reminded of what Christ has done in order for Him to give us a new life and a new kingdom for us. Let's pray. God, thank You for being our God. Thank You that You give us Holy Spirit to live a victorious life. Even though at times we are doubtful and we are scared of trusting completely in Your promises, through the Holy Spirit, may be reminded once again that I am not traveling alone, but I have God with me every step of the way. God, thank You for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.